From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is completing his exposition of chapter 12. The theme of the chapter is the believer's response to the gospel. In the preceding messages, Dr. Cairns emphasized the need for God's people to give their lives to the Lord in self-sacrifice, service, and separation from the world. As he continues to look at the passage, Dr. Cairns urges believers to serve the Lord, remembering what Christ has done for them, and to seek to show that love to others by the way they live. We're called upon to apply the Bible's teachings to every area of life, whether in the church or among unbelievers. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message entitled, Serving with a Savor of Christ. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Partakers of the Divine Nature. To be a partaker of the divine nature is not, of course, to become God. That cannot be. The essence of deity is not to be participated in by the creature. Between the creature and the creator, there must ever be a gulf fixed in respect of essence. But as the first man, Adam, was made in the image of God, so we, by the renewal of the Holy Spirit, are in a yet diviner sense made in the image of the Most High, and are partakers of the divine nature. We are, by grace, made like God. God is love. We become love. He that loveth is born of God. God is truth. We become true, and we love that which is true. God is good, and he makes us good by his grace, so that we become the pure in heart who shall see God. Moreover, we become partakers of the divine nature in even a higher sense than this. In fact, in as lofty a sense as can be conceived, short of our being absolutely divine. Do we not become members of the body of the divine person of Christ? Yes, the same blood which flows in the head flows in the hand, and the same life which quickens Christ quickens his people. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Nay, as if this were not enough, we are married unto Christ. He hath betrothed us unto himself in righteousness and in faithfulness, and he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. O marvelous mystery! We look into it, but who shall understand it? One with Jesus, so one with him, that the branch is not more one with the vine than we are a part of the Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer. While we rejoice in this, let us remember that those who are made partakers of the divine nature will manifest their high and holy relationship in their contact with others, and make it evident by their daily walk and conversation that they have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, for more divine holiness of life!
And quicken from
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
I was listening to a radio program. It made an impact on me, as you'll see, because I'm about to quote from it, but it didn't make such a positive impact that I took a note of when it happened. Do you remember who the preacher was? Well, not his name, but where he's from. And he's a Bible believer. No doubt about that. And I believe a saved man with a sincere heart. But yet, as I listened, there was such a misunderstanding of the merit wherewith we stand before God. The message was all about you parents not shutting your children out of your life, letting them in, forming good relationships with them. And the whole climax of the message was, don't wait until you're dead or nearly dead to form this family bond and tell your children you love them and tell them to walk with Jesus. Now, I have nothing at all to criticize about that advice. I just wonder that any parent would be thick enough, stupid enough. I'm trying to learn to express myself clearly, you know. I'm just wondering how any Christian parent could be dumb enough to need the advice. If you shut your children out of your life, you're worse than playing the fool. You're worse than that. So, anyway, we'll not get into that. It's not my subject tonight. But the preacher went on. Evidently his father wasn't very good at this, but his grandfather was excellent at it. And he said, "When picture that day when we stand before God. And I can't do the hooting and hollering that some southerners are very good at doing in the pulpit. I can't do that. Being a Northern Irishman. Other things I can do, mind you, that they can do, but we'll not get into those. They're not for the pulpit either. But he had some hooting and hollering going on up there, and he was picturing that scene at the judgment bar of God. When his grandfather would stand before God, and the grandchildren would be hooting at God and saying, "Hey, God!" Look at what my grandfather did. See the great job that he did. He hit a home run, Lord. When I hear that sort of absolute rubbish from a good man, I know there are shallow, lax, loose views of the gospel. For I want to tell you, when you stand before God, I find, according to the words of Christ, that when God commends his people for what they did in his service, they are utterly amazed. And they say, "Lord, when did we ever do any of these things?" The only people who, according to Christ, go boasting to God about what they have done are people who are not saved, and they have nothing to boast about, but in the blindness and folly of their depravity, they have little views of the holiness of God, little views of the wickedness of sin, and therefore they can be comfortable in their so-called goodness, and God says, "Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Believer gets before God and he cries, "It's all of grace. It's all of Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." That's the testimony of every justified believer on that glorious great day of judgment. Now, if you get solid views of the gospel, if you can really get a grip of what it is, the problem that God's gospel sets out to solve, if you can get a grip of the glorious solution to the problem that the wisdom of God has produced in the person and work of Christ, then from that point on, you will agree with Paul, the only possible proper response on the part of a Christian is to say, "Lord, I yield my all to thee. Here am I." This is what Romans 12 is all about then. In verse 1, Paul is saying, "Yield yourself in sacrifice to God." In verse 2, he's saying, "Yield yourself in separation from the world." Now we come to verses 3 through 13. And he's saying, "You yield yourself in the light of the gospel, in the light of all that God has done for you." Now let me emphasize, this is the argument. In the light of all that God has done for you in Christ, you yield yourself to him for service among the saints. You don't serve in the church of Christ because the people around you deserve it. You don't serve in the church of Christ in order to make the pastor feel good. You don't serve in the church of Christ merely to fill the pews of a church building or to enact some program of a church committee. What we are learning here is you serve in the church of Christ as a response for what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole argument. Yield yourself in service among the saints. Now he starts in verse 3. I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. I think you'll see that includes you and me. To every man that is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure or a portion of the faith. Now the first evidence, or one of the first evidences, of a transformed mind, of which verse 2 speaks, is a new attitude toward yourself. I'll get to verse 3 in a moment. But the very first thing that lies on the surface of verse 3 and all that follows down through verse 13 is this, that a Christian cannot properly think of himself any longer in terms of being his own man. I want you to understand that. We live in a society where people boast about, I'm my own man. And I know there's a sense in which we may glory in that. We're not mere lickspittles or people who will bow the head and say yes no matter what's being proposed. But in the deepest sense, a Christian can't be his own man. Not only so, a Christian cannot properly respond to the gospel by living as a mere individual. There's an awful lot of Christians trying to cut themselves off. They want to be little islands. They are alone. Their family's alone. They are little islands. And I'm telling you, that is a carnal and a fleshly and a worldly and a sinful response. The only proper response to the gospel is one that deals with the self. If we understand the gospel properly, we will know that it demands of us that we function as members one of another and of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, yes, you are you and you are an individual. And you thank God you're not me. Well, we're different, but we're in the same body. And it's not enough for you to function in your way and I for me to function in my way. We function as members one of another, and we function together as members of the body of Christ. And let me tell you something, and it's very easy for me to say this. There's hardly a preacher in 100, and I'm talking about preachers now, and it's certainly true throughout the congregations of the churches. But there's not a preacher in 100 who can actually put this into operation. This functioning as a member of the body of Christ is our first earthly consideration. This comes before nationality. You can be as proud to be an American as you want to be. This comes before nationality. This comes before citizenship. This comes before business. This comes before family. Jesus spoke about the disciple having to be willing to hate father and mother for his sake. Now, of course, Jesus was not teaching that you're to be hating and hateful. But what he's saying is, when the decision comes, will it be blood ties, or will I be faithful to Christ in the service of his church? I will have no decision to make. I will put the Savior first. That's what he's saying. I have known preachers They were very good. They were more than a little like Eli. They're very good at making rules for other people. Eli could see Hannah praying. Her lips were moving. He couldn't hear a voice. He could jump to the conclusion that she was drunken. And he gave her a lecture on drunkenness without even giving her a breathalyzer test. Never even smelt the breath. Just lectured her on drunkenness. His own sons were living not only in drunken stupors. They were living in immorality at the very gates of the house of God. But you see, the ties of blood meant so much to him. But like many another preacher, he put his family before the church. I've seen that many a time, where preachers can be very, very hard on dealing with sin in other people's families. But man, when it comes to their own family, don't you dare touch them. No matter how wicked, willful, and wretched they are, don't you touch them. I've seen it in elders. I've seen it in church members. They're all right until you've got to deal with my family. My children are beyond the discipline of the church. My children are this, or my husband, or my wife. I want to tell you, when you put blood before the body of Christ, you're denying the gospel. I thank God I never had this dilemma, but I well remember when God called me into the ministry. As a very young man, you can see that, for I've been preaching for 45 years, and some sarcastic person will say you would never know it, but I started very young. My mother was a foundation member of the church that I didn't grow up in it from way down, but from about 11 years old, I grew up, and most of what I learned in that church. She was a foundation member there. In many ways it was a wonderful church to grow up in. In many ways it was not. Every time it would get into blessing, there'd be some idiotic dispute where people would fall out with each other and they would cause consternation and trouble. And I remember as I went into the ministry, before God I vowed, nobody had ever said a word to me about it. And my mom, thank the Lord, had never been anything but the friend and counselor of everybody in that church. I remember saying to the Lord, if the time ever comes when in the church has to judge my own mother, by the grace of God, I will stand by God's word and God's church, and I will do what is right. I'm glad, and I say it to her honor and to her memory, that never did that situation ever arise. But that was the fixation of my heart. And that's what it's got to be.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.